Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 15 of season 2. This one is called Pen Pals. It was directed by Weinrich Kolbe. The story credit goes to Hannah Louise Shearer, and the teleplay credit goes to Melinda Snodgrass. It aired back on May 1st, 1989. In this one, acting ensign Wesley Crusher learns to manage a science team, and in the primary plot, focusing on Starfleet's prime directive, Data helps a young girl on a troubled planet. It's just going to be me talking about this one, so it might be a bit of a shorter episode. I tend to go short when it's just me. I feel a little bit crazy just talking to myself, but we'll try to hit all the major points of this one, Pen Pals, right after this.
It is no longer a matter of how wrong Data was, or why he did it. The dilemma exists. We have to discuss the options, and please talk freely.
There are no options. The Prime Directive is not a matter of degrees. It is an absolute.
I have a problem with that kind of rigidity. It seems callous, and even a little cowardly.
Doctor, I'm sure that is not what the lieutenant meant, but in a situation like this, we have to be cautious. What we do today may profoundly affect the future. If we could see every possible outcome,
we'd be gods, which we're not. If there is a cosmic plan, is it not the height of hubris to think that we can or should interfere?
So what are you saying, that the Dremens are fated to die?
I think that's an option that we should be considering.
Consider it considered and rejected.
If there is a cosmic plan, are we not a part of it? Our presence at this place, at this moment in time, could be a part of that fate.
Right, and it could be part of that plan that we interfere.
Well, that eliminates the possibility of fate.
But, Commander, the Dremens are not a subject for philosophical debate. They are a people.
So we make an exception in the deaths of millions?
Yes.
And is it the same situation if it's an epidemic and not a geological calamity?
Absolutely.
What about a war? If generations of conflict is killing millions, we interfere. Now we're all a little less secure in our moral certitude. And what if it's not just killings? If an oppressive government is enslaving millions? See, the Prime Directive has many different functions, not the least of which is to protect us. Prevent us from allowing our emotions to overwhelm our judgment.
My emotions are involved. Data's friend is going to die. That means something.
To Data.
Does that invalidate the emotion?
What if the Dremens asked for our help?
Yes. Sarjanka's transmission could be viewed as a call for help.
Sophistry.
I'll buy that excuse. We're all jigging madly on the head of a pin anyway.
She cannot ask for help from someone she does not know.
She knows me.
What a perfectly vicious little circle.
We are going to allow her to die, are we not?
Data, I want you to sever the contact with Dremer 4.
Isolating frequency.
Data, where are you? Why won't you answer? Are you angry with me? Please, I'm so afraid. Data, where are you?
Wait. Data. Your whisper from the dark has now become a plea. Cannot turn our backs.
We're back. Hey, everybody. How's it going? So let's talk about pen pals. I think I'm going to start this one off just by saying that the AV Club, I think, summed up this one the best for me in their review. Zach Handlin did a couple years ago. He went through every episode and actually did a written piece about every single one instead of just talking about it. A little bit more work. But he said that this episode exemplifies Star Trek at its best and its worst. And I think I agree with that. It's an episode I had trouble coming up with rankings for. I started off remembering it being, having a memory of it being terrible. And as I was watching it, I realized it wasn't really terrible. It wasn't all that bad. But then it slowly got worse, as it went along. And just to start off with what I think the major problem is. So the story credit and the teleplay go to two different people. The story credit goes to Hannah Louise Shear. The teleplay goes to Melinda Snodgrass. So Melinda Snodgrass actually wrote it, and Hannah Shearer came up with the idea for the plot. Melinda Snodgrass is obviously someone who is much more interested in the emotional core of stories, because she also did Measure of a Man, which is a pretty good episode that came out before this one. It's the one where Data is on trial to determine whether or not he is a sentient being with full rights and all that stuff, which is a very moral-centered take on Star Trek and sort of analyzing the ethics of things. And this Pen Pal script is sort of the same way. There's a lot of Prime Directive analysis. And the story is more traditional Star Trek, with sort of science-based solution to a problem that's presenting itself. In this case, it's the planet falling apart, and there's a girl on the planet who needs to be rescued, and that would violate the Prime Directive to rescue her. But Data wants to do it anyway, and then there's a whole lot of debates about whether or not this is the actual thing to do. So for, you know, a quick plot recap, that's basically it. But so while the script is sort of going about this moral argument, the execution really isn't up to par with what you would want to come from it. And I think that's really the big problem here. I liked the ideas in this episode. I didn't like the way that they actually did it. It felt very ham-fisted, and I didn't think that the writing was really all that great. This episode probably has the most group meetings out of any episode that I can remember. And it has one really, really excellent one, has one really, really terrible one. The terrible one is Wesley, when the officers are deciding what to do with Wesley. Wesley has a plot line in this one where he sort of is given control of a project. He's turned into a project manager in the future, and he has to figure out what's going on with the planet. And the officers convene in the conference room to have a discussion about whether or not he's ready for it. I thought that scene was terrible. I don't really understand why they're pushing Wesley so hard. I don't understand why it takes virtually every senior officer on the ship to come up with a solution for this instead of just someone giving out the responsibility to Wesley on their own as sort of a minor thing, like how Riker says that he's in charge of Wes, which I don't really remember that happening, but I guess it does happen in the episode where he's made acting ensign. Riker says he'll take control of his learning experience or whatever. But I thought that scene was really awful. Some bad acting and some bad writing. Picard, or Patrick Stewart's the only one who manages to actually hold the thing together, as happens so often. I thought Pulaski was terrible. Her take on things, sometimes her take on things seems okay. And particularly in this episode, her take at the end seemed fine with what Data's decision ultimately was. But her decision for how to handle Wes seems to make less sense. Troy is bad in that one. Bad lines and bad acting. The terrible combination. Riker's fine. Worf's whatever. Geordi's whatever. And Picard is good. Better acting. Lines not really up to snuff. But the great scene that they have in this one is the Prime Directive debate in Picard's quarters. it's blocked really, really well. If you can really break apart that scene thematically, just how everyone is standing and how everyone is positioned in the room reflects their sort of mental state, where Picard is the center of everything. Worf is standing very rigidly. Data is silent to the side. Troy and Riker are more thoughtful about it, and they're sort of relaxed in their chairs. And Geordi and Pulaski are much more emotionally wrought by the decision and sort of undecided about what to do. And they are constantly standing and sitting, and they're sort of unable to get comfortable. It's really, really well blocked. The script is okay. At that point, it's a little ham-fisted. But the blocking there is some of the best direction I think the show has done to sort of relate what's on screen to what they're actually talking about thematically. It's really, really well done. So Weiner Kolbe, who would become a series regular for a director, really earned his paycheck on that one.
Sir, I feel it is important to determine the reason for...
Come on, Data.
Captain, your orders were to deliver the message, correct?
Yes.
Then what is the difference between sending the message and delivering it personally?
A whopping big one, and you know it.
Sir, we have come this far.
In for a penny, in for a pound, is that what you're saying, Mr. Data?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well. Go.
Sir?
Number one, handle the transporter. Go.
There's some good scenes in this. I love the O'Brien thing. O'Brien says he's going to take a nap and he's not paying attention to what Riker's doing with Data beaming him down to the planet. There are, you know, I don't mind the little girl in this. Normally I hate child actors. They usually can't do it. You know, they usually are a little bit too over the top. In this one, she's slightly over the top, but I don't really mind it. It's not the, she's a little clingy to Data, but it's understandable in context of the story. Pulaski's enjoyable in this episode. She is a nice way to bring in a different opinion that actually makes sense in the context of the story, which was having a problem before, like in episodes where she wants to cure a disease of a planet and it seems a horrible idea to bring them on the ship. She wants to bring them on the ship. This one, at least her stance makes sense in the grand scheme of things, which is nice. It's a good development for that character. We get Picard, you know, a little bit more fleshing out of the Picard character. He loves horses, which would come back a couple times. I think particularly in the episode where the Enterprise is getting cleaned with that radiation at the starbase and those terrorists try to steal the dilithium or whatever they're trying to steal. I think he goes back to the ship to get his saddle in that episode. And in this one, it is the origin of his saddle story, I suppose, where he loves horses. Has a weird scene with Troy where he talks about horses, and then he has a much better scene with Data where Data exposes or tells him of the fact that he's been in contact with this girl. I don't know if the scene is good, but I thought it was funny, was the cock-blocking Wesley Crusher scene where Riker is clearly trying to pick up that lady in 10 forward. Wesley comes in and does some sneaky sort of like, let's talk in the corner thing. He has to be reassured of his command by Riker. Riker does it, and then Riker gets called to the bridge, so he can't continue macking on the pretty lady in 10 forward, who seems very smitten, and I'm sure that relationship will continue for episodes to come, right? So those are the things I kind of like. Didn't really like the extreme ham-fistedness of the script. It's a lot of people talking very bluntly about what's going on. The conflicts are not resolved particularly well. Wesley's plot of taking command seems like it's going somewhere, and it really resolves itself very quickly and ultimately amounts to nothing. The Wesley storyline is funny because there's a whole lot of build up to it where they, you know, the crew is figuring out whether or not they want to do it. He puts together a team. He's very concerned about whether or not he has like the balls to be in command of this science team, which is basically running a bunch of nerds. It's not like he's put in charge of the security team or anything. And he has a little bit of pushback. It's not even pushback. It's almost like one of the people on his team, Wesley's like, I think we should do a scan. And the guy goes, I don't think we need to do that. And Wesley goes, oh, okay. And then he walks away. The guy's not particularly dick about it. He's not really, he's just sort of giving a difference of opinion that Wesley just crumbles to. Wesley seems shaken by that. He asks Riker for advice. He goes back and then he's just like, hey, you know, maybe we should do that scan I was talking about earlier. And the guy just goes, sure thing, chief. And he does it. And there's no conflict. I don't understand. Like, why would you have this storyline if you're not going to show up the conflict of what it is to be in command and to have like a serious difference of opinion or something like that? Because there's no pushback from these guys. His team basically does it. And then, of course, Wesley turns out to be right, and everyone sucks his dick in the later conference room with Picard, where just like, well, if Wesley and Crusher hadn't told us to do this scan, who knows where we'd be. It's just a weird – it's a lot of build up to nothing, a whole lot of foreplay that eventually just goes nowhere. And the major storyline, which the Wesley storyline sort of feeds into – to provide a resolution, is that Data has been contacting this girl, Sarjenka, on the planet, and in violation of the Prime Directive. And her planet is falling apart because, as Wesley figures out, dilithium crystal fever or something. Something's going on with the dilithium in the planet that's causing the planet to melt down and become like this volcanic mess, and it's going to kill everybody. And there's a whole debate, which I talked about earlier in Picard's Quarters, about whether or not you can save them and, you know, stay within the Prime Directive, or whether or not they have to ignore them. Eventually, they decide to save them, and Data goes down, meets the girl. He brings her back to the Enterprise in violation of the Prime Directive again. Everyone gets a little upset, but then they fix the planet by firing photon torpedoes at it, which somehow fixes everything. And then they wipe the girl's memory so she can't remember them, and they beam her back, and that's the end of the story. There's interesting things about the Prime Directive here. It feels much better of an idea than it is executed, as I said before. The Prime Directive is not really making much sense at this point. They're having a debate in the Picard's quarters about whether or not, you know, like if a disease is ravaging a planet, if they're having wars, like when can you interfere? And in this one, you know, Data sort of rescues this one girl, but the Enterprise seems to have no problem with fixing the situation using the photon torpedoes. So I guess my main issue is I don't really understand what they consider to be interference. Like, if there's an argument that this is all fate and that Starfleet shouldn't be interfering with fate, which doesn't really make any sense at all. Pulaski keeps hammering the fate point, which does not seem to be what the show believes in. So I don't know why they keep stressing it. But if it's fate that you can't help people and directly let them know that you're helping them, I don't understand why you can just sort of act in the shadows to help them. And just the fact that they don't know about you, somehow makes the situation right. The Prime Directive kind of makes sense like that, but it also seems to have this belief that things are fated to happen. And if a species hasn't attained warp drive, you can't help them no matter what goes on. And so it's kind of a conflicted idea about what they think they can do in these situations. They end up helping, which to me seems like a violation of the Prime Directive, but they don't seem it to be. And then they just wipe the girl's memory and send her back. And the show also kind of gets around the problem by simply not showing anyone from the race except for this little girl. They're still alive. I remember the show being that the girl was the only survivor on this planet. And as I was watching it, I was like, before I realized that she's actually down there with her family, I was like, oh, this is really, really dumb, a moral argument, because there's really no moral argument to save one girl that the Prime Directive would get in the way. Because the Prime Directive seems to imply that you can't affect a society. And if I would argue that you can help a small amount of people that wouldn't actually affect a society. I don't know where the cutoff point would be, but you could, you know, rescue one person, set them on a starbase, and you haven't affected the development of their society. You've just taken one person out of it who was going to die anyway. So you've done a greater good. I've gone off on a tangent. I can't remember what I was talking about, but I mean, the problem there is all Prime Directive based. And it doesn't really make a lot of sense in what this, what the crew considers a violation of the Prime Directive. And again, the show gets around it a little bit by not showing anyone else so that you don't get this impression that you're actually giving repercussions to an entire, civilization. It's just this one girl. So I think that's a weakness of, you know, the writing, probably budget considerations. You don't want to do a lot of makeup to show a lot of people. But it makes it seem less important if they can just easily wipe the mind of this girl, send her back, and that's all square. And if that's the case, since this mind wipe is possible, it's a real easy out to any sort of repercussions. The show seems unwilling to sort of have a moral quandary and then have serious repercussions come from it. You know, it would be a much better written show if something, if what Data did actually had waves of impact, but it's not, because her mind is going to be wiped and she's just going to go back to her planet and everything's fine. And why wouldn't this be an option at the beginning? You know, because it's not like this seems to be a terrifically novel idea to wipe her memory to send her back. Picard brings it up to the Doctor, and Doctor says, yeah, we can probably do that. It's just, you know, if what they had done somehow changed the planet, you'd actually have an argument to why the Prime Directive is important. But instead, we keep getting this thing where the crew is bringing up the Prime Directive as if it's this major, you know, golden rule, like the number one thing that can't be violated. And they violate it all the time, and it seems to have no implications. It sort of has to do with, you know, the genre show that this thing is. Every 45 minutes, the episode resets and you start over again. But it makes the drama much more low-key and almost not important. This would be a much better episode if Data's impacts and what he had done actually caused something, either good or bad or neutral or undecided, if something had happened from it. Instead, it's all for naught. It's a whole lot of debate about something that doesn't matter and something that's just going to be wiped clean at the start of the next episode. And it's not even really a great argument for the Prime Directive. There's a lot of better ways I think you could frame this to actually expose the weaknesses or the strengths of the Prime Directive. And they don't really do that in this episode, and it's kind of disappointing.
I came to apologize, sir.
No apologies are necessary. You reminded us that there are obligations that go beyond duty.
I appreciate your seeking other options, sir. Your decision could have been unilateral.
One of my officers, one of my friends, was troubled. I had to help. Is Sojenka safely home?
Yes, sir. She will not remember me, sir. But I will remember her.
Remembrance and regrets, they too are a part of friendship.
Yes, sir.
And understanding that has brought you a step closer to understanding humanity.
That's Pen Pals. It's a little bit better than I remember. It's not good. But, you know, it's kind of a hard episode to rate. I'll say that. I feel like this episode could have been really good. And instead, it settles for something that's pretty mediocre, but not as bad as I remember it being. Not one I'd always want to watch, not one I'd show to anybody, but it has some interesting ideas hidden behind a whole bunch of garbage, a whole lot of hand-holding and sort of, you know, the weak sort of blandness that Star Trek The Next Generation has at this point, where decisions don't really matter as much as they want to act, you know, very serious and melodramatic about what's going on. None of this really matters, and the resolutions are clean and not problematic, which is a big problem if you're trying to write drama. You know, that's just a thing. I think, you know, this is all going to be fixed eventually. It's fixed a little bit in the next episode, or more than a little bit. It's fixed quite well in the next episode, which is Q-Who, which we'll get to. But let's get to a rating for this one. I was wondering, you know, thinking if this was a 3 or 2, I think it's a strong 2. I was going to say a weak 3, but I think it's a strong 2, which ultimately, this is saying strong before the number doesn't really help in my final rankings, but it's not particularly horrible. It's got some real problems that are mostly script-related, but it's just problematic enough to not be a average episode of Star Trek. Unfortunately, these strong themes aren't enough to pull it forward. But yeah, that's it. I'll give it a 2 out of 5. Pen pals. Better than I remembered, so worth watching if you haven't seen it in a while. But that's it. Thank you guys for listening. If you enjoyed the content and you're watching on YouTube, I guess we'll go first. If you're watching on YouTube, You know, a like and a comment's greatly appreciated. If you enjoyed the content, only if you enjoyed the content and you're on iTunes, a rating or review is very helpful. I'm having a lot of fun doing this. I apologize for it just being me. Hopefully this rambling wasn't too off-putting, but we'll be back next week, or in a couple days, I guess, whenever this goes up, with Q Who. And we'll have two people on to discuss that, so the law of averages will work out, and me being by myself will balance out with the two people next time. So thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and I will be back in a couple days with Q Who. See ya.